This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, happy holidays, and welcome back inside the Quicken Loan Studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. We always deliver the biggest and best in sports, and this evening we have secured a very special guest. We are getting set to visit with the only player to win five Super Bowl rings in his 11 years playing with the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. Charles Haley is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and this evening he's going to share what it was like to play for two NFL dynasties. It is truly, if you follow his career, it has been an incredible journey. He has done it all and continues to do it as he just released his new book. It is titled Fear No Evil, Tackling Quarterbacks and Demons on My Way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Good evening, Charles. It's so nice to have you with us. Such an honor.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, we are very excited to highlight your new book, but first, let's get your takeaways on the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, they are coming off a disappointing loss to the Giants, but how good is this Cowboys team? Because this really, Charles, it's been a special season.
Oh, God, they are very special. This is a team that when you walk in the locker room, all you smell is confidence. And, you know, this loss, you know, you could take it away as a disappointment, me. My takeaway is now you deflated all the guys' egos, and now they know they really they're going to have a bullseye on their back, and people are going to be trying to take them down. So they got to be ready for that.
The Dallas Cowboys, their 11-game win streak, it was snapped. So one of the things I wanted you to weigh in on is, Charles, give us your thoughts about the rookie quarterback in Dak Prescott. You know, it was an off night for him, but he has had such an outstanding season. Are you a bit surprised that, you know, he's facing all these questions and some are perhaps even challenging if he should continue to be the starting quarterback?
Oh, yeah. It's no doubt in my mind that Dak is the quarterback of the future. You know, everybody knows you can't replace a guy because he loses two games and he wins 11 for you. You know, I just think that the whole team need to refocus because, you know, they've let the media be a distraction and everybody patting them on the back. And that'll cost you right there.
You know, there has been so much attention on the offense, but we can't overlook the defense because it seems like they have been a bit overlooked, right?
Yes, they have. But, you know, they came to work on Sunday. And I'm so proud of them. You know, they got sacks. They got pressured. You know, they held them to 10 points. And I'm ecstatic. You know, everybody looks down on the defense, but in order to win a Super Bowl, defense has to step up.
Hey, Dallas Cowboy great Charles Haley. He is on SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. On this Friday night, we would love to connect with you. We are interactive. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And you can always go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. And since, Charles, we're on the topic about the defense for the Cowboys, what about Sean Lee? Because he is something special. A game-high 18 tackles against the Giants. You talk about what an asset. And tell me this, I mean, how good is a healthy Sean Lee?
Oh, God, he's a professional. You know, he's the first one to get into the locker room, and he goes directly to the meeting room and start watching film. So he's prepared. If half of these guys would just follow his lead, they would be more productive.
You know, I look ahead and I think about that game on Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this is a team, you know, although the Cowboys, you know, they remain at the top of the NFC and they are 11-2, this is a team that they cannot overlook because the Buccaneers are 8-5 and they are on a 5-game winning streak. And, you know, going even through your book, I know you're a game tape kind of guy. What do you think are going to be some of the keys in this matchup? And because the Buccaneers, quietly, they have been a dominant team. Would you agree?
Yeah, the quarterback, I think, is going to be the key because he's a very mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes the defense not take chances because he can make big plays with his feet. He's starting to become a really good passing quarterback too. So, you know, that's the big thing. And the running back they got there is great. You know, this is what it's all about. The best play the best. And, you know, that's how you test yourself. And I look forward to watching them.
Oh, it's going to be a great matchup. Of course, you can't overlook the fact when you think about the Buccaneers, you look at their schedule. They've had two key wins against the Seahawks and the Chiefs. But my final question before we move ahead and we talk about your brand new book, which is titled Fear No Evil, Tackling Quarterbacks and Demons on My Way to the Hall of Fame. What do you think the Cowboys' mindset and point of emphasis should be in this final stretch of games of the season?
Just play one game at a time, one quarter at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And finish the game. Finish the game as you started the game. And, you know, assume nothing.
Right, and they've got to stay in the present, no doubt about that. Hey, Charles, let's move ahead. Let's talk about your new book. As I said, it is titled Fear No Evil, Tackling Quarterbacks and Demons on My Way to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, when I went through it, my takeaways is that it's really not a book about all your success because you've had so much of it and in all the Super Bowls, but really just, you know, it was reflecting on your journey, and it's a powerful look at your early life. What is your goal? I mean, what do you want the reader to know, and what was the main objective of the book?
Well, my objective is I want athletes to know that they don't have to stay in the shadows, that they can seek help. You know, they don't have to go public and tell everybody that I have a mental illness. But, you know, just go search for help and get it. You know, don't make all the same mistakes that I did.
Yes, because as you were talking about with the goal of the book, you want your fans to understand not only you as a player, but as a person. And it really does, when you go through this book, it starts a conversation about mental illness. And you talk about how it almost destroyed you. But most importantly, you give the reader a sense of hope that you can overcome those demons that you faced. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, it's, I had opportunities to step up as a man and do the right thing, but I was so afraid of people destroying my image. And I didn't realize at the time that, you know, my actions, the way I carried myself, the way I reacted to people was destroying it in a way. The best thing ever happened to me was that my family turned their back on me, because then that made me truly go seek help.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Charles Haley, Dallas Cowboy and San Francisco 49er, great. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, the only player to win 5 Super Bowls. He is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Hey, Charles, you know one thing that I really love about you, big fan. I mean, you're a winner. You're the ultimate competitor. And, you know, you even share in the book that you viewed the world as it being against you. And I wanted to ask you, I mean, where did that mindset come from, that it was you against the world? Because when I think about, you know, dealing with, you know, mental illness, I mean, I think about, you know, how you were able to manage your friendships and your relationships. I mean, how hard was that for you? And was it hard for you to trust?
Well, I managed my relationships and my friendship as I didn't have any. And I didn't trust anyone. And I only let a few people inside because I didn't want people to know what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get friends, they ask you questions. You need to answer them. And I didn't want anybody to know that the thoughts that I had and that, you know, I couldn't sleep and, you know, the migraine headaches. It was a lot of things that was going on. And I didn't want them to know, too, that I was a coward, that I wouldn't seek help, because every team has psychiatrists, counselors. They got everybody around to support you, and I chose not to take advantage of that.
Charles, very open in the book. I mean, sharing about, you know, the struggles with bipolar disorder, accepting the diagnosis and working very hard, very diligent to overcome that. You were very transparent in terms of some of the regrets that you, from some of the decisions that you had made, very honest about that. What have you done to make those right in terms of some of the transgressions and so that those others that closest to you that they had, you know, would forgive?
Well, you know, through the book, guys understand what I was going through
mm-hmm.
mentally. But, you know, when I see them, I didn't have to push those guys past that level of, I wanted to win. I didn't want anybody around me that didn't want to win. That's the only way I felt like people would want to be around me, because I'm a winner. And,
yes.
and I realized that I turned off all my teammates, you know, and I turned them off for a reason that, you know what, I didn't want any friends. I didn't want anybody that, you know, that I could go out and eat with or talk to, because like I said, you know, I've had PTSD, and, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, if I drink too much, somebody's going to attack me. So I was always in a shell.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dallas Cowboy, great Charles Haley with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we'll be rejoined with Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Haley.
This is the Big East Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and as a reminder, all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that's Progressive, and we are being rejoined with Dallas Cowboy and San Francisco 49er great Charles Haley tonight at SB Nation Radio. You know, it is interesting. You played with, as we look over your career, you played with so many legendary players in the NFL. I'd love for you to describe for the listeners tonight, what was it like to play for two exceptional coaches in Bill Walsh and also in Jimmy Johnson? What kind of impact did they have on your life, you know, personally and even professionally?
Well, personally, you know, Bill Walsh was very intelligent. He followed me my whole career. He was there for me. You know, he loved me in a whole different realm that, you know, I never felt before. And, you know, he helped me get jobs. You know, whatever I needed, he was there to support me. And then Jimmy, you know, Jimmy was an authoritarian. He, you know, he kept his foot on guys' back, you mm-hmm. know, and he was a warrior. I love Jimmy. You know, I love people that, you know, their ambition is to win and to win now. And that's the kind of man he is.
Well, and I'm sure you have a deep appreciation for Coach Johnson and his belief for you and taking that chance because, you know, he had heard so many rumors. And one thing I've learned in my life is that perception is not always reality. And it certainly paid off for Jimmy Johnson and for the Cowboys because in your first four seasons, it resulted in three Super Bowl victories. And so much attention was on, you know, Troy and Michael and Emmett. But and they certainly were very deserving of all the adoration. But we got to give you credit, Charles. You were a big component to the success of the Cowboys in the 90s.
Well, you know what? I'm not an I guy. I'm a we guy. Without the other 10 guys, I couldn't have made it. Without good coaching, I don't think that we could be successful. I think it's a team effort. I'm grateful to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm grateful to win 5 Super Bowls. But I'm more grateful that I had teammates and they helped me be able to control my goals and stuff so that it wouldn't spiral out of control. I think that if I'd been on a team that didn't know how to win, I think my issues probably would have got worse.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Haley with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And yeah, we've talked about your time with the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers, but there is a great story inside his new book, Fear No Evil, Tackling Quarterbacks and Demons on My Way to the Hall of Fame. And I want you to share about when you were a freshman at James Madison and your mom dropped you off at college. You've got to set the stage for our listeners. What in the world happened and what was your mom thinking?
Hey, you know what? My mom read me the right one. You know, I've never been 2.5-3 hours from my house.
Bless you.
So as we were going up that mountain, uh-huh. she put it on me. She told me that she's putting plants in my room, right? And and so we got there. She goes with me to check in. I go back to the car. And, you know, she was in my room making my bed, and I went out to get it, and I saw her. I thought I might have left something. So by the time I get in the room, I come back out. She's gone. You know, my mom is my greatest hero. She stood by me when other people kicked me to the curb. She believed in me, and every day she would tell me, boy, hey, you can be as great as you want to be, mm-hmm. but you're going to have to get off your butt. So what she used to do is, it was a grocery store probably about a mile up the road. So you got like 5 or 6 minutes to get your butt up there. get it and get back to the house. And if you didn't get back to the house in time, boy, you was in trouble.
Hey, just a few more minutes with Charles Haley, Dallas Cowboy great, right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are celebrating just his incredible career and his new book that is out, Fear No Evil, Tackling Quarterbacks and Demons, On My Way to the Hall of Fame. It is in bookstores everywhere. It is the holidays. Hey, it's here. I encourage you to go out and get a copy of it. So, Charles, tell us, what are you doing today? I mean, and what kind of changes have taken place in your life since your playing days? And who do you give credit to?
I give credit to God because he impacted my life. He lives inside of me. So now I can be the man I want to be. I want to be an asset to players, to kids, to everyone. I want guys to understand they don't have to go through the same crap that I went through because, you know, the pressure, you're in a pressure cooker, and either you let the pressure cooker destroy you, or you control it. And I want to be the guy to try to help these guys understand that they have to control their behavior and their actions.
How much time do you spend with this Cowboys team and trying to influence them and take, you know, their game to the next level?
Well, I come over here maybe once a week or something. I'm not, you know what, they want to talk football. I'm not about that anymore. It's more or less they can't understand my drive. They can't understand that I'm very, very demanding. So they get their feelings hurt. So I don't do much with that side. But as far as being their friends, being someone, an asset, a tool that they can use to communicate, to you know, get stuff off their chest. So you know what? I've been through it all. I've seen it. And I tell them, you know, just be open and honest. We keep it moving.
And as we get ready to close out the interview, I just thought it was very powerful that you share also in the book that the memories of specific plays and games, as life goes on, Charles, I mean, it fades more and more. But what remains are the relationships and the people and the friends. And, you know, Charles, that's truly what life is all about, and you know?
Yeah, it is. And I thank God now that a lot of more of my teammates, they understand me now, and that we can break bread. When I call them to help support me in the community, they show up. You know, like I said, I don't know why God gave me all this blessing and his grace, but I know when I don't deserve it, but he gives it to me anyway.
And I'd love for you to tell us about your charitable foundation, at Tackle Tomorrow, is that right?
Yes, Tackle Tomorrow. It's, what we do is we do after-school programs, education, you know, from three-year-olds up to sixth grade. We teach them math, science, and reading, you know, and then we take the teachers, we teach them how to implement iStation, which is our internet educational program. You know, we're feeding the kids something that nobody can take away from them.
You've been listening to the voice of Charles Haley, Dallas Cowboy and San Francisco 49er great, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and only player to win 5 Super Bowls. His new autobiography, it is out, Fear No Evil, Tackling Quarterbacks and Demons, On My Way to the Hall of Fame. It is in bookstores everywhere. I highly encourage you to go out and get a copy of the book. Congratulations, Charles, on all your success and an early happy birthday. You got the big birthday coming up after the new year, right?
Yes, I do. And you know what? I don't want it. Because that means I'm going to be 53 years old. But I'm getting younger. I'm getting younger as I get older.
Absolutely. Hey, enjoy the game. Cowboys Buccaneers, 7:30 kickoff on NBC right there in Arlington. Thank you so much. God bless, Charles. And I promise we'll talk to you again real soon.
God bless you, too.
You bet.
Thank you.
Of course.
All right, bye.
Yes. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell, back with you at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. Let's now take some time to hit the hardwood. We're going to talk some NBA, and how about those Golden State Warriors, a team with unprecedented talent and unprecedented expectations. We're going to get the pulse on them. We're also going to highlight one of Triumph Books. They do it all. Their latest release, it is titled Super Team, The Warriors Quest for the Next Dynasty. And our good friend is joining us tonight. That is Marcus Thompson. He's a columnist with the Bay Area News Group. He teamed up with Triumph Books on this, and we are so delighted to have you on the show tonight. Thank you, Marcus.
I am not a supervillain, though, so please don't mix me up with those guys.
Oh, I can't even, you know, that's not my perception of Kevin Durant. We love him. I understand it's business, right? It's just business as usual, you know. I change jobs. We all change jobs, you know. So.
Right. I see no problem with it. He moved from Oklahoma City to the Bay Area. I applaud him for that.
No hard feelings. Okay, so we are, what, about 25, 26 games into the season? It's, what, the first quarter? What kind of grade would you give the Warriors? I know they've got four losses at this point. Is this where you thought they would be in terms of the chemistry and all coming together, Marcus?
It is where I thought they would be. I feel like when you put together such great talent, it's going to take a while, especially since it was one piece trying to mold in with pieces that were already together. So I'd give them a strong B+, A-, because they still have four losses, and they aren't even close to what they're going to be. You can see how good they're going to be when they get all of the little stuff together. Even Draymond Green talks about how they're still far away from where they want to be. And I think Steve Kerr likes this. He likes that they have to build to something instead of like last year where they came out of the gate 24-0 and then they kind of tapered off as the season ended. You want to be peaking come March and April. And if this is not their peak, they're still the best team in the league right now. So what will it be when they are peaking?
Well, you know, Marcus, you're there at practice. You know, you're interviewing the coaches and the players. When we talk about Kevin Durant, give us a sense in terms of just how well he has fit in.
Well, first off, he really loves it, right? Like, you could just tell he feels free. He's like he's happy all the time. He's always willing to talk. He gets along well with his teammates. They have all these inside jokes and these connections, even with players who, like, aren't stars. He's bonded with Ian Clark, a backup two guard. So you can just tell he likes it, and I think that has helped. Whatever that means about Oklahoma City and his past, there's something about how the Warriors interact with each other, starting with Steph and Draymond and how they're all friendly and they get along well. He just seems to have fit right into that mold. They won him over in the Hamptons with bringing four guys, and he loved the bond. He thought they felt like brothers. I think he feels like, I'm finally in a situation where there are five or six of us and we're all cool and everybody's happy.
Right.
And it's kumbaya. So that's the sense I get from him, that he really is genuinely like happy to be here. And I don't know if I expected that right away.
Marcus, can you provide some insight though on, you know, how team veterans in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, how they adjusted their role to incorporate KD into their already stellar offense?
Well, it started with them bending over backwards to like make sure KD felt welcomed. You know, they were feeding him shots. You know, they were really being kind to him in the locker room. Like bringing him in, inviting him on, letting him, you know, have whatever he needed. Like they went overboard to say, Kate, you're one of us. We want you here. And that wasn't even just the player. That's like an organizational thing. Whatever he needed, they're like, you're one of us now. Let's make him feel welcome. And as time has gone, I think KD has let him know, not like overtly, but intuitively, hey, I'm one of you guys. Don't do anything different. Just let me kind of blend in. So now you see him giving them, you know, they'll talk to him. They'll say, hey, you needed to play. You needed to do this better. Or, we need you, you know. Before it was, you know, whatever you want to do, KD, take all the shots, you know, have a big game, do what you need to do. So I think it starts with Steph, who is just that kind of person. I think he's happy to have another star. And Draymond recruited him the hardest. So these guys wanted him here, and I feel like they look at it as if KD works out well, they'll look good because they'll all be seen as unselfish. They'll win multiple championships, and then they'll be able to have that mantle of, we told y'all we were better than anybody else.
Do you hold the belief that this is a team that can eventually cement their place in NBA history as one of the greatest of all time?
Oh, without question. I think we've seen this with Miami. The Heat, when their trio got together, that first season had its bumps and bruises, and they ended up losing in the finals. And then, you know, and then they ended up winning two championships. But these Warriors are young. You know, they're all, the oldest one is 27, 28. So, you know, they still got a good 4 or 5 years at their prime. And they're really good right now. Like, other teams are looking at the Warriors like, okay, how are we going to pull this off? Because it's just Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. So unless they don't win any championships, which will be, I just can't see that not happening. 2 and 5, 3 and 5 years, no matter what, we will look at this team and talk about it. The question is, will we talk about it as a team with 2 or 3 championships under its belt?
Hey, the columnist with the Bay Area News Group, Marcus Thompson, is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are interactive. Connect with us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always go back and listen to this entire interview at Podcast Arena. Go to SBNationRadio.com. And, you know, it's interesting. Just a moment ago, we were talking about the adjustments that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, how they have adjusted their game to welcome in Kevin Durant. But what kind of adjustments do you think Kevin has made to mesh with his new teammates and to really accelerate this level of chemistry?
What he's done is he's changed the way he plays. And in Oklahoma City, he was an isolation player. He had the ball in his hands. He went one-on-one. He took his guy. With the Warriors, he doesn't do that very much. He's moving off the ball. He's the recipient of the pass. You know, he's that guy. It's really amazing that he's been able to produce like this, because it's such a new style for him. That's how the Warriors beat Oklahoma City. They forced him to play iso ball. But now with the Warriors, he doesn't do that. He's like sitting back screen and moving off the ball. And there's all this kind of other stuff, this motion, movement, lots of passes. He's really switched his game to that. And it's worked really well. He's shooting 50% from the field. So that's how he's done it. It's gotten away from, all right, give me the ball, I got my man, and I'm about to take you. He very rarely does that. He actually might need to do it a little bit more because he's that good. But that's a major adjustment that he's made in his offense.
Absolutely. You're listening to the voice of Marcus Thompson, columnist with the Bay Area News Group. Does an outstanding job. In fact, he is the captain of the ship here. He teamed up and with Triumph Books and released this new book. It is titled a glossy magazine type book. It is titled Super Team, The Warriors' Quest for the Next NBA Dynasty. Give us a quick hit before we go to break.
Well, what we've done is kind of piece together this incredible story, which started with the Warriors going 24-0 and Steph Curry doing things we'd never seen before, to them chasing down Michael Jordan, Bulls winning, breaking the record for wins in the season. They won 73 games. And then it had what looked like a bad ending, right? They made it all the way to the finals in a 3-1 lead. But the craziness of this story is that wasn't the end of the story. Probably no heartbreak in NBA or sports history has been healed as fast as the Warriors, because what, 2 or 3 weeks after they suffered the biggest defeat in NBA history, they go and get Kevin Durant. So it's just an incredible story about how this franchise that was nothing, it was a laughing stock for 40 years, has suddenly become this elite franchise that even when they lose, they win. So it's a pretty good read, and we kind of chronicled that whole tale from start to finish, or at least until they got Durant and kind of took off to another stratosphere. But I feel like it's a good read, and since I wrote a lot of it, I'm pretty confident.
Absolutely.
Read, right?
And you've been around the team for so many years, and, you know, it really is a testament to how patience, how it all paid off, because you were there, you know, throughout all the ups and downs and the struggles, and, you know, just seeing that, you know, it's been very difficult for Warrior fans, but now they are reaping some big time success, and it's exciting.
Man, let me tell you, there were a lot of downs. There were a lot of bad years, a lot of people who were just wishing they could just make the playoffs. And now we're talking about whether they're a dynasty or not. It's pretty crazy. And the Cubs won the World Series. The Warriors are in the team. Something's going on in this world.
Absolutely. We love having you on as a guest. Marcus Thompson, columnist with the Bay Area News Group. Go out and get a copy. Super Team, The Warriors' Quest for the Next NBA Dynasty. Thanks so much, Marcus. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Anytime you need me, just call.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you. Merry Christmas and happy holidays as we are inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. It is that time of year as college basketball, the season, it is heating up, and we're continuing to highlight some of the teams out of the Big Ten Conference. Up next is the Iowa Hawkeyes. And wow, they are currently 5-5. They have had some losses like against Nebraska, Omaha, that I would think has caused the Hawkeye Nation to panic just a bit. Here to answer some of those questions, and we also are going to talk about his new book. It is titled 100 Things Iowa Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and that is veteran sports writer. He wrote for the Des Moines Register for more than 35 years, and that is Rick Brown. It's his first time at SB Nation Radio. Good evening.
Good evening. You make me sound old there. Still going.
You're still going strong. But here we are. You know, we're a few weeks away from the start of conference play for Iowa. But kind of give us a pulse on, you know, how the guys have played up to this point in the season.
Well, Iowa's biggest issue has been defense and a lack of defense. Haven't been able to stop anybody. Gave up 100 points to Memphis. Gave up 98 points to Nebraska-Omaha, a game you mentioned that Iowa lost, but calmed everyone down with a upset victory over arch rival Iowa State by 14 points in Iowa's last game before a spring or fall semester break. So they play Northern Iowa in the Big Four Classic Saturday in Des Moines, and people are anxiously waiting to see which team shows up.
You know, when you dissect the Iowa schedule, you look at some of those games, quality opponents, Rick, that they have faced, as you were talking about, Virginia, Memphis, Notre Dame. But overall, when you stand back and you look at the schedule up to this point, did you think that they would be 5-5? I mean, what were your expectations coming into this season? Because they had a terrific run last year.
Yeah, you know, they lost four starters, so I don't think expectations were very high. And 10 of the 13 players on the roster are freshmen or sophomores. And so you expected some bumps in the road, but usually they don't lose to teams like Nebraska-Omaha at home. I think that one, people thought they would split one of the two games in Florida when they lost to Virginia and Memphis. But then no one expected them to beat Iowa State, which kind of, you know, outweighs that. So I think they're probably just a game maybe off from where people expected.
How much does that energize this team, you know, playing against a quality opponent out of the Big 12 Conference in Iowa State?
Well, it energized everyone because Iowa had given away a game in Ames the previous year, had a 20-point lead. Jared Utoff scored 30 points in the first half and just two in the second half, and Iowa State's Monte Morris hit a shot with 9 seconds to go to give Iowa State its first lead of the game, and that was the final score. So that was a bitter pill to swallow for this team. Had lost three straight to Iowa State. And when you consider the way Iowa had been playing, like I said, no one saw this coming. So this team is energized, and they've shown they can play some defense, and now it's incumbent on them to continue to play that.
Rick Brown, veteran sports writer, is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The title of his new book is 100 Things Iowa Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. There's some great stories in there, and we are very anxious to share that with all of you. But let's talk some more about the Hawkeyes because, you know, I had mentioned Virginia, Memphis, Notre Dame. Do you think this is going to pay big dividends, you know, down the run? When you have a tough non-conference schedule, it's certainly not easy going through those stretches, but that's going to prepare you as you go on and hopefully be able to make a deep run in postseason play.
Yes, that's what Coach Fran McCaffrey has mentioned when he talks about that schedule. Maybe a little too much for this team, but he thinks big picture-wise it's going to benefit the program, not only Big Ten season, but going beyond that as this team develops. He now starts three freshmen, which a lot of people hadn't expected.
Right.
And four different freshmen have scored at least 20 points in a game. That's never happened in his career. So you know, there's a lot of positive points. It's just a matter of getting the confidence and the consistency.
Okay, veteran sports writer Rick Brown with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. And let's turn the page now. Let's focus in on your brand new book, 100 Things Iowa Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So what do you want the reader to know? I mean, it's jam-packed with, like I said, so many great stories in there. Kind of give us a sneak peek. And the holidays are here. I mean, it's the perfect gift for the holidays, right?
Right, yeah. It's more a look at some the history behind the history of some of the things. Iowa has a proud athletic tradition, you know. Starts with Mal Kinnick and giving his life in World War II on a training mission. Didn't want to take his plane back to the carrier because he was afraid he would harm some of his fellow mates there, so he took it down in the ocean and they never found it. From his legacy all the way to the great things, Fran McCaffrey's work to beat cancer. He and his wife, Margaret, their big issue now is pediatric cancer. They want doing what they can to see that go away. And just the historical moments and things that I think people find interesting, that Iowa not playing Notre Dame in football, canceling the game after John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Things like that people maybe don't realize. Just trying to give them some interesting angles on history in Iowa.
Well, whether you have been a part of the crowd at Carver Hawkeye Arena or you know all the retired jerseys by heart, 100 Things Iowa Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die is the ultimate source for all things Iowa and a must-have for lifelong and rookie Iowa fans alike. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Rick, for being on the show this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
That, of course, was Rick Brown, veteran sports writer, as we're talking about his Iowa Hawkeyes. A very special thank you to all of our amazing lineup tonight. Charles Haley, we had Brandon Wright of the Memphis Grizzlies, and so many other special guests. Join us next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.